first of all, I just want to kind of talk about the Invest in Iowa Act and just specifically, I think, how that addresses an issue or a priority of ours, and that is making sure that we're funding our mental health services properly so that no Iowan has to suffer in silence and can't get the services that they deserve and require.
That's right. And we covered that after your condition of the state address. And it sounds like you do have a comprehensive plan in place, even including working with the schools.
Right. I'm really excited about it. And, with the condition of the state, I said, you know, as we enter into this new decade, this is a time to not only look to 2020, but to look to 2030 and 2040. And so with the Invest in Iowa Act, I think, you know, we really make a good attempt at doing that. Most specifically is, it funds the trust fund and cuts the income taxes but it also fully funds mental health. So 2 years ago, we reformed the adult mental health system, and then last year, we implemented the first-ever children's mental health system, and now we need to make sure that we can provide sustainable funding. And as we worked on this over the summer and we brought all the stakeholders to the table, one of the issues that we've been hearing over and over is that this is it's a service, and it shouldn't be funded through property taxes. And so what we are attempting to do is to make sure that we not only provide sustainable funding for the mental health services, but we relieve some of the burden on property taxpayers as well. So they still have a role to play. It really forms, you know, a regional partnership between the regions and the state, but it removes a good share of the levy, taking it from $47.28 down to $12.50, and then the state general fund will provide the additional $80 million. And on top of that, what I think, you know, I've been trying to share with local governments and regions is the other thing that it doesn't do is it doesn't touch the backfill. And I know that's something that the counties have been very concerned about. So we're able to fully fund mental health, reduce the burden of property tax, make it sustainable, and not do anything with the backfill right now.
And will this be funded in part by the 1 cent increase in sales tax?
Yep, it is. So that equates to about two-eighths of the 5/8. It's an overall tax reduction, and that is really important to me. I have absolutely no interest in raising taxes, and there's no way that the funding of the trust fund would even happen if we don't figure out a way with the General Assembly to make this an overall tax reduction, and that was a goal of mine, too. And so we spent a lot of time, again, over the interim. So the 3/8 is constitutionally protected, goes to the trust fund, I will, and then the 5/8 we have plugged into not only finding a way to fund mental health with the $80 million, but do a 10% across the board cut, and for majority of lower income Iowans, it's about a 25% across the board cut. It takes our highest tax rate, that is 8.5% right now, down to 5.5% by 2023, which makes us so much more competitive. The Tax Foundation right now has us, when it comes to income taxes, ranked at 42nd, you know, almost dead last in the country, and that moves us to 20th. So that goes a long way in making us competitive and making a compelling case that Iowa is a great place to do business and providing opportunities for Iowans. So and then we go from 9 brackets down to 4, so it's also streamlining the income tax system as well, and then reduces property taxes by removing that a majority of that off of the levy. That's about a $77 million offset to county to property taxes, so that's a move in the right direction. And then it's significant investment in water quality, conservation, and quality of life.
So what I'm hearing is that even though there might be an increase in the sales tax, this is more than offset. In fact, the average Iowan is going to be better off from a tax basis because of the lowering of the income and property taxes.
Yeah, it is an overall tax cut. I mean, for the first year, it returns $170 million to taxpayers. That's 10% across the board tax cut. Actually, in 2021, it's a $409 million tax cut. But as I indicated, for the majority of lower-income Iowans, it's closer to a 25% tax cut. then overall, as we move into the next 3 years, it significantly makes us more competitive and takes the highest tax rate from 8.5% down to 5.5%, which for the long term, I think is really good news for not only for the state, but for especially for Iowans. And in addition to that, I think sometimes when you think about it, with the income tax, Iowans have no choice. That's what it is. But when it comes to a sales tax, they do have a choice in what they purchase and buy. But I want to remind Iowans that, you know, Iowa doesn't tax a lot of goods and services. If you look at South Dakota, they tax everything. We don't tax food. We don't tax prescriptions. I've included in the bill no longer taxing diapers. So we're trying to be sensitive of the needs of families who are trying to make ends meet, but in the long run, making us more competitive and reducing the tax burden on Iowans.
One of the things Dawn Mincer had said is that the regional directors were going to be meeting with you. Has that meeting taken place?
Yeah. I have not had the chance to meet with them yet, but my team has been reaching out to all of the regions. We're trying to be very proactive because, you know, with the bill, we're hoping the bill will drop this week. So the bill is not even out yet. It just takes, because it's so comprehensive, it takes a while to put it together. But we're trying to go ahead and be proactive and walking through stakeholders the bill and what it contains. The other thing we're taking a look at is removing the spend down that's a requirement right now. We were able to extend it last year for their balances, for the regional balances, just to remove that. So as we transition to this new system, they have the balances to work kind of as a buffer as well. I think one of the other things that was mentioned in the article that I just wanted to clarify too, that somebody said that this was, you know, always the plan, and it's not. You know, because we just implemented the children's mental health tax or the mental health system last year, and by reforming the adult, it's really allowed us to see where the barriers were, where the gaps were at. So the same thing with the children's fund. Now we have an idea of the funds going in, so we can have a comprehensive understanding of what those funds are and how they're being utilized, and again, start to address some of the gaps and some of the barriers moving forward. But actually, there was a lot of talk last year for fully funding the mental health system by sunsetting the backfill and plowing that money into the mental health system. So it is not. This is just something we really worked on all through the interim, and we did. We looked at several different options on how we could provide sustainable long-term funding going forward, and this is where we ended up. But I've also said to legislators, you know, this is a place to start. This is kind of a canvas. This is our plan that we put forward. Now, take a look at it. We're open to suggestions. We want to hear concerns. You know, we worked really hard on it, but I'm sure we don't know all of that, all aspects of it. So we welcome that conversation, that dialogue and input as we move it through the legislative process.
And you think it's going to remain as a regional and not become a state run?
Oh, no. I think it'll be, you know, it'll stay. But you know, as you move forward, you know, maybe the number of regions will reduce. I don't know, but that's not something right now. That's up to the local control. So that's not something, you know, for us to decide. And that's not the intent of this. It's to really provide better services, provide a better funding stream, and it's a service. So a lot of people would say that they don't believe that should be funded by property taxes, and that's been a concern that we've heard for quite some time. We're actually only, I believe, one of a few states that funds the mental health services through the property tax system. So we've, you know, that's what we're looking at, just how does it make sense and where does it make sense for us to fund this system? And as we build the access centers and put in some of the reforms that we did with the adult mental health system, we'll have a better idea of kind of what the actual cost is and how do we work with the regions when they're trying to decide where it makes sense to maybe put an access center or to adjust the type of beds that they have, or, you know, just the conversations that are taking place in regions across the state. So we want to be a partner in this. And most importantly, I think if we work together, our ultimate goal is to make sure that Iowans and children are getting the services that they need where and when they need them most. So that's the overall goal.
And we have been hearing from our law enforcement community that there's been a big increase in the number of people they are seeing with mental health issues. Are you also working with them in conjunction on the plans for how to handle the crisis some communities are facing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is the biggest challenge. It is quickly becoming the biggest challenge that we're facing. So I'm really proud of the things that we've put in place to help address that and get in front of it and make sure that, you know, we don't have kids in emergency rooms when they should be, or adults getting, in an access center, being stabilized to get the treatment that they need and then back home to their family and their community. But we have had, all of the stakeholder groups. When I did the complex needs study for the adults, and with the children's mental health system, law enforcement, they were represented and at the table and one of the stakeholders, because they play a big role in all of this. So they've been at the table for all of the discussions through not only the adult but the children's mental health system as well.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much. Because I know at the end of the year we saw a big jump in the numbers that were coming through locally, and it's sad. To think that these people are in a jail cell instead of in a hospital to get help.
Getting the treatment that they need. You know, the other thing that we're doing, too, because it's all so connected, in the condition of the state, I talked about an additional $3 million to help educate and train educators and their staff to identify early warning signs of mental illness and help, again, get those kiddos the services that they need. And so we did $2.1 million. I asked for three last year. We got $2.1 from the legislature, and then that's implemented through the AEA, and I've received pretty positive feedback from that. So I'm hoping that we can come back. I've asked for an additional $900,000 to get that to the $3 million. So hopefully we can do that, and I think, that's helping. And then the other component I talked about that I believe is really important and will help us, especially for rural Iowa, meet their needs to help get the children and, really even adults, access to behavioral health therapists is with telehealth, which ties into the broadband. So we have to make sure that we have the connectivity. But through telehealth and through a lot of our communities are now bringing behavioral health specialists into the school. If there's no cost to the school except for they provide them the space, a room, and then they are able to see the students right there, work with the educators. It's been very, very positive and well-received in the schools that have been able to do that. And so another piece of that I talked about in the condition of the state is making sure that schools are flagged as a site of service, and then that way the funding stream will follow for the low-income Medicaid recipient children and families. And so that just helps, again, with the overall funding of providing the services to those who need it. So I think, when you collectively look at all that, we're really taking some positive steps to start to ensure that we can get Iowans and children the services that they need.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking the time to do this, because it does take those separate pieces and put them all together into the puzzle that is the plan, which maybe people are not seeing right now.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons, honestly, that I reached out, because it's so complicated and there's so much and there's so many moving parts. And, we're still going to have a lot to do. We don't have all the answers. And as we move through it, we'll understand it better and continue to see where the gaps are. But and we're going to work really hard to reach out to various groups and stakeholders and families and parents and teachers and help walk them through kind of what we're working on and what we're trying to do and get their input. So I really appreciate you taking the time this morning to let me kind of give you an overview of what we're working on.